Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Last week, as you recall, we dealt with the Chazan in shorts. This week, I want to pick not on the Chazan, but on the second person we like to pick on in shul, the Lainer. Why do I say he's the second person we pick on in shul? I should have said it's the first person. Because davening is the same every day. Laning changes. And by nature, if laning changes, then the words of the laning may not be pronounced properly, which is a whole shear in and of itself. When do you correct the laner? But it definitely gives shul a bit of excitement in the sense of, oh, he made a mistake. We just corrected him. Something out of the norm happened in shul today. So from this perspective, I'm not going to deal with the laner before he gets to shul. Namely, what does the laner have to do at home before he gets up there at the bima and opens up the Torah? Does he have to go over the laning or not? And I'm not talking about someone that doesn't know the laning. You have to be stupid not to go over the laning if you don't know the laning itself. I'm speaking about a different kind of person, namely the gentleman who knows the laning. He's been laning for years. Parshat Achrei Mot Kedoshim, he can whistle in his sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. Does he have to go over the laning or not? And I'm going to show today that there's two reasons to go over the laning. And even if the first reason's not relevant, it could very well be that he has to go over the laning for the second reason. And let's go in order. What's the first primary reason to go over the laning before you lane? If I woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I said, should the laner go over the laning? What would be your answer? Yes? Most people have to go through the laning every week. Shtayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. That's a shirin into itself, and we've given a shir on it. And it's a chova. It's actually an obligation. I don't know why people don't do it. It's an absolute obligation. The question I have is, once you've done that, should the laner go over the laning? And the first primary answer to that would be, well, does he know it or not? Is his memory good or not? Is he like a doctor that can have a lot of information in his head at once? Or does he have such an open mind that it has a hole in it that he doesn't remember the laning from year to year? So the first and primary reason why a laner should go over the laning is that the laning should be correct. Why is it so important for laning to be correct? Because laning is publicly teaching Torah to the Jewish people. And if you want to publicly teach Torah to the Jewish people, you better do it authentically, because terrible things can happen if you don't. And let's give an example. The Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Kaf Aleph into Amud Bet, V'Homa Rava. Hana Tre Mikre de Darke. You have two teachers of kids. Chad Garis Velo Diek, V'Chad Diek Velo Garis. You have one teacher that can cover a lot of ground, albeit, let's just say, that in each topic he teaches, he's not exactly being careful and pedantic to cover all the details of that topic. He says in general you can't cook on Shabbos. He doesn't go into the details, well, how do you do Hachazara and Shehiya and Hatmana, etc. And the other teacher is very pedantic. On each topic he teaches, all the students know the topic well, albeit they learn two topics a year. So, which teacher is better? Different views in the Gemara. Rav Dimi Menahardae gives his point of view and he says, Motivinen de Dayek Velo Goris. You actually take the teacher that covers less ground, but teaches what he teaches authentically and with all its details. Because of the following story that happened to Yoav. Yoav was the chief of staff of the army of David HaMelech. And it says about Yoav that he was fighting for David. And Ben Hashar, Hichrit Kol Zachar Be'edom. He killed all the males of the nation of Edom. So after the war is over, Ata Lekame de David, he came before David. Amar Le, Maitam Avidid Hachi, why did you kill all the males of Edom? Amar Le, Dichtiv Timche, Ed Zachar Amalek. You shall kill all the males of Amalek. Amarle, that's not what it says. What does it say in the pasuk? Anybody? Timche et Zecher Amalek, correct? Not Zachar Amalek, not the males of Amalek, but any remnant of Amalek. So what did you say Zachar for? So everybody here understands. A Sefer Torah has no nekudot, has no vowels. So you could be read a word, Zayin Chet Reish, as Zachar, or Zecher. Amalek, Ana Zachir Nakrino. I remember being taught it says Zachar. And they go through a whole razzle-dazzle here. What exactly is the correct pronunciation? And the Gemara goes on. They go to the gentleman who knows Diktuk well. And he says it actually says Zecher. And therefore, he says about the teacher that taught Yoav, Arur Oseh Melechet Hashem Remiyah. Cursed is the one who does the work of God in a lie, not authentically. What does that mean? He was supposed to teach Torah. He wasn't so pedantic in the pronunciation of words. And because of it, Yoav made a big mistake. He thought he has to totally eradicate all males of Amalek because of Edom, because Edom are the ones that gave birth to Amalek, as we read in Parshat Vayishlach at the end. He was wrong. It has nothing to do with Edom. It's only the nation of Amalek. Because of this, the Rambam paskins lahalacha melamed atinokot shehu miniach atinokot v'yotze. A person who's a teacher and sort of says to the class, here, learn, I'm going out for a cup of coffee. He doesn't really stay in there when they're learning. Or while they're teaching, he's learning with them, he's looking at his phone. Or shehu mitrashel b'limudan, he's not so careful. And therefore you shouldn't make him a teacher. And indeed the Midrash Tanchuma, in one of the Perushim to the following Pasuk, says exactly the same thing. The Pasuk says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Eov, Az ra'ah, then God saw, Vayesapra, and he said it, Hechina, Vegam Chakara, four things as to what God do to give the Torah from God to the Jewish people. Lelamdecha, HaTorah she'im tiye ben Torah, lo tiye ruchacha gasa, lomar davar lifnei atzibur, ad she'tifshot ota bencha leven atzmecha, shtayim shlosha pe'amim. If you're about to give a lecture to the Jewish people, go over what you're going to say two or three times, so you don't say something dumb, you don't say something incorrect, you don't say something that may be interpreted in the wrong way. So you see, a teacher of Yoav, all he did was he didn't listen carefully when they read the Chumash, and they read Zachar as opposed to Zecher. But we see that indeed, not only is it a bad idea with kids, but the Midrash Tanchuma says, if you're going to give a lecture, even on Zoom, go over what you say beforehand, so that your words are understandable, and no one will make a mistake because of what you said. Now, I'm just going to be honest with myself. This is a good idea, especially when you record something and it goes up on a website. This is going to go up on a website. If I'm not careful with what I say, people can make mistakes because of you. So before you give a lecture, before you're going to teach Torah publicly, go over it and make sure your words are precise. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins with regard to laning, which is our topic today, karavita'a, afilu b'tiktuk ot achad machzirin oto. A person makes any mistake in laning, you go ahead and you tell him to read it over. The Rama is a bit more mekel. He says only if it's a ta'ut shemishtaneh al yedei ze ha'inyan. Only if it's a mistake that changes what the pasuk says. So kasef and kesef, you don't go ahead and tell the Baal Korah to read it again. But if it says in the Torah, lo tirtzach, and he reads it as tirtzach, or it says lo tignov and he reads it as tignov, that's changing it totally. From thou shall not steal or murder, you just said thou shall steal and murder. And therefore, you have to go ahead and tell him to correct himself. But the bottom line is, the first and foremost reason why a teacher of Torah from a kid to adults, and one of the teachers of Torah is the laner. The first and foremost reason why he must go over the laning is because he must teach Torah authentically to the Jewish people. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins regarding the Lainer, in the name of the Maharam Mimintz, HaChazan Tzarich Lachzor Mitzchilat HaSedra, Shetiyeh Shgura B'fiv Kol HaDikdukim, Metagin, Mila'el, Milora, Yemin, Usmol, Ve'yikra B'mitun Ve'lo B'mihirut. A person should first of all prepare the laning properly, and when he reads it, he should read it clearly. So the first and foremost reason why a laner has to go over the laning before he lanes is the same reason why a public lecturer has to go over his lecture and why a teacher should go over his lesson in order not to say something that's a mistake, in order to be authentic. So if we would end the shiur here, I would say very simply, whoever has a good memory doesn't have to go over the laning. He remembers it from last year. He can lane it and whistle it in his sleep. There's no reason to go over it. If your memory is not so high, then go over it. But there's no reason to go over it unless you don't have a good memory. So most laners don't have such a good memory, I'm assuming. They don't remember every word of Torah they've ever said, learned, or laned. And therefore, they go over it, each person based on their level. It's subjective to the person. Totally. We will end the shiur here. That would be the end.
When somebody makes a mistake, everybody's on top of him. Everybody's going to remind him what to do and so on. So this happens all the time.
It happens all the time. It's not necessarily correct. In a Sephardic community, going on the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, I can understand it. In an Ashkenazic community, it's not the right thing to do. And let's remember that when you correct someone in laning, if indeed it's a correction that does not change the significance of that pasuk, he said kesef or kasef, then, quite frankly, you're embarrassing him in public. So you got to be very careful with it. But let's just say in a perfect world, the laner has a good memory, or he went over the laning, and the laning was fine. It's subjective to the person who's laning, who's teaching, that's it. But there's a second reason that I believe you have to go over the laning, which is exactly the second reason why you lane in general. And we've said this many, many times. I've said this around the world. I said it around this table, and I'll repeat it. There's two reasons to lane. The first reason is to publicly teach Torah. The second reason is to reenact Maimad Har Sinai. The Bima is like Har Sinai. The person who's laning is kivyachol, like God giving the Torah. The person getting the Aliyah is kivyachol, like the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu, excuse me, receiving the Torah. You have a Gabbai, which is like Aaron and the Kohanim and the Levim that stood around. And you have all the Jewish people standing around the Bima or sitting. That's laning. From this perspective, I have one question. When the laner prepares the laning, is he also obligated to reenact Maimad Har Sinai? Or when he prepares laning, it's just preparation, but it has nothing to do with the reenactment of Maimad Har Sinai. And I'll explain what I mean. Let's look at the beautiful Medrash. Medrash Mos Rabba. Amar Rav Acha. Mina Elokim Atalameit. From God you learn. Kishibikesh lomar Torah liYisrael, when he wanted to teach the Torah to the Jewish people, Amra dalet pe'amim beino levein atzmo, atchalo amara liYisrael. When God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he went over it two or three times, in this case, four times, before giving it over to the Jewish people. And they quote the same pasuk we quoted earlier. So as you see from this Medrash, God doesn't need to have a good memory, have to go over what he had to say. God is doing it because he wanted to teach us the mitzvah of vahalachta bidrachav, and you shall follow in the footsteps of God. If this is the way God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, so too, we, the Jewish people who are now giving the Torah in reenacting Maimad Har Sinai at laning, the laner, who's in place of God, kiviyachol, has to go over the laning two or three times, because that's what God did. And the Medrash in Shmot Rabbah is mentioned in our Medrash Tanchuma that we just quoted. I said it's one of the two points of view in there. Maaseh b'Rabbi Akiva, Not only is this a nice idea, this was practiced by Rabbi Akiva. Shekaru achazan barabim, the quote b'sefer Torah b'tzibor. They asked him to lane. A big kavod, they asked him to lane. Ve'lo ratzah la'alot. And he didn't want to. I know many people like that. They ask him to lane, they don't want to. I know people, they ask them to do hagba, they're afraid they're going to drop the sefer Torah, they don't. Okay? Amlu tomidav rabbeinu. Wait a minute. Lo kachli minetano. That's not what you taught us. You taught us, ki hi chayecha v'orech yamecha, v'lama nimnata milalot. Didn't you teach us that the Torah is our life, the Torah is our ongoing oxygen, so how come you don't want to read from it? Amalahen ha'avodah. He says, sort of a swear, right? In the name of God, lo nimnati likrot, ela shelo sidarti otar parsha shnaim shlosha pe'amim. The only reason why I refused to lay in was because I didn't go over the parsha 2-3 times already beforehand. She'en adam rashay lomar divrei Torah lifnei atzibor, achiv shot bet gimel pa'amim beino levein atzmo. You want to teach Torah publicly? Regardless of your memory. Regardless of how polished you are when you speak. Regardless of how you're an amazing rhetoric speaker. You have to go over it 2-3 times before. Why? Not because of the lack of memory, not because you want to get every word correct, but rather for a totally different reason. Shekein matzinu b'kodesh baruch hu, because that's what God did. Shehu noten ma'ane lashon lechol abriyot. He's the one that gives the ability to all of us to speak. V'hatorah gluya lefanav, and the Torah is totally open before him. He has no memory loss. But ukeshebali ten li Israel, when he wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people, he went over it 3-4 times prior. So therefore, the second reason, in my opinion, why you have to go over the laning is not because you may say something wrong, but rather because you're imitating the way God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Todd, when he gave the Torah, went over it 2-3 times. You're obligated to do the same when you give the Torah over to the Jewish people. And this second reason is indeed not written in the same context as the first in Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the top of the source sheet, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Mem Bet talked about the laner that makes a mistake. And that's where the Mishnah Berurah says he better go over the laning before. But in Simon Kuf Lamed Tet, Kuf Lamed Tet, not Kuf Mem Bet, he brings another halacha, total different chapter, total different context. B'makom shenahagul shehaole atzmo kore bekol ram, im lo sider tchila parsha pa'amayim shalosh beino levein atzmo, lo yale. In a place where each person getting the aliyah is the one that actually reads the Torah, if he didn't go over it 2-3 times prior, let him not get the aliyah. Ubimakom shahachazan kore, and in a place where you have a baal kore, which is most Ashkenazic communities, tzarich lesader tchila. He's the one that has to go over it 2-3 times. And says the Mishnah Berurah, exactly our medrash vasmechura chachamim akra. This is not because he may not lane authentically. This is because of the medrash we just saw. That Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says, Azra'a v'yisapera, hichina v'gam chakara, that you have to go over the laning to imitate the way God gave it to the Jewish people then. So just like in Mamad Har Sinai, he went over it 2-3 times before, so too you have to do when you give over the Torah to the Jewish people in the reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai when you lane. And then the Mishnah Berurah proves my point, u'bediyeved. You have a laner that didn't go over the laning 2-3 times. Imen sham bebeit hakneset mishi yisader la'atzmo mitchila kedei shelo levatel kriya b'tzibur noagim la'kel. If indeed you didn't have someone like it, so we're mekel. Why? In order not to mevatel laning. She yikra achat sheyodeh lenagen ha'ta'amim afal pi shelo sider. Now what happens if you have someone that knows the ta'amim, knows how to lane, knows the trup, albeit he didn't go over the laning 2-3 times? Very simply, based on what we said, we have kiyum number 1 and not kiyum number 2. Kiyum number one is to teach the Torah authentically. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this gentleman knows how to lane. Hu yodea l'nagena ta'amim. He knows achremos kedoshim. That's not an issue. So b'di'evet, he can lane because he's not going to make a mistake. But what are we missing out on if he didn't go over it 2-3 times? We're missing out on the kiyum of reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore the Mishneh Berurah says it's b'di'evet. In other words, he's mekayem simon kuf mem bet and not simon kuf lamed tet. He's mekayem teaching the Torah authentically, but not mekayem reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. And indeed, the Mishneh Berurah refers you to Kuf Mem Bet as to the laner being pedantic and learning the laning properly. So we saw thus far that there's two kiyumim when you lane in general. Publicly teaching Torah to the Jewish people, and number two, reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore, the same should apply for the laner when he prepares laning. A, he has to go over the laning to teach it authentically and correctly. And number two, he has to go over it 2-3 times. That number exactly, regardless of his memory. Why? Because that's what God did when he gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Now, how come we haven't seen this halacha being practiced? What do I mean being practiced? How come no Gabbai and Shul asked the laner before he laned that you go over it 2-3 times? So there can be two reasons. Number one, the Gabbai doesn't know. Legitimate. He listens to this shir, now he knows. But I doubt it. What, every Gabbai doesn't know this halacha? I found it out overnight. I'm the only one that knows it? It can't be. I'm not that good. So what's the reason? The reason, in my opinion, is something totally different. And that's exactly what Irving said earlier. We are obligated to go over the Torah Shtayim Mikra Vecha Targum every week. So we already went over it 2 times. So the laner just has to go over it 1 time. And we assume he probably did it, because why would he lane without going over it? So indeed, for Parshas that I know, if I lane, that's exactly what I do. I go over it Shtayim Mikra Vecha Targum every week, regardless. I'm laning, not laning. I'm in the middle of Achremot right now. I'm towards the end. But then if I lane on Shabbos, so Shabbos morning before laning, I get up earlier and I go over the whole laning. That's my 3rd time. And that's the only way I have these 2 kiyumim of A, laning authentically, Bezrat Hashem, and B, Shichzur Mamad Har Sinai, going and reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. Now you may ask, that's very nice, you want to reenact Mamad Har Sinai. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Do we have other examples of this? That in laning, we reenact Mamad Har Sinai? Or is this the only example? The answer, of course, is this is part of many examples. And I'll give you a few here. Sampling. Number one. The Mishnah in Megillah says you can read Megillas Esther standing or sitting. Namely for a Yachid. Comes along the Gemara and says, Mashe Enkein Batorah. When you teach Torah and when you lane, you have to stand up. Menani Mili, where do you learn it from? From God. Where? When God taught the Jewish people Torah, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata Po Amod Imadi. And you shall stand here with me. Which teaches us that we have to stand when we teach Torah. And then the Gemara says, today we're weak, we sit down, but quite frankly, this doesn't change for the laner. The laner does stand up because he is reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. So first and foremost, when you lane, you reenact Mamad Har Sinai when you stand up, like God did. 2, Rambam. Ve'en ator geman nish'ane lo la'amud ve'lo la'korah elo me be'ema uve'yira. When you lane, you do not lean on the bima. Now, I have to be honest with you. I had a situation this year where I had some surgery on my back and I had to lean, and it was very difficult to stand. And I didn't want to lean on the bima like the Rambam said. So I sort of put my hand on a shtender next to it, and that somehow kept me up. And it was very difficult. But in general, If it's not difficult, then you're not allowed to lean. Because when the Jewish people got the Torah at Maamar Har Sinai, do you think anyone was just leaning on someone and said, oh, that's nice. Fire, lightning, shofar blowing. They were scared out of their wits. They didn't stand there and start leaning on someone saying, hey, how you doing? They were very scared. So when you get the Torah, you have to show the awe to it, aim of the Yira, and not lean, L-E-A-N, lean on the Bima. You can't lean when you get the Torah. Incidentally, I'll just say in parentheses, when there is an obligation to stand, you shouldn't lean on something. For example, we have Tekiot Deme'umad. If Tekiot Deme'umad on Rosh Hashanah means the Tekiot we do when we stand, you can't lean on a shtender when you hear the Tekiot. You have to stand up erect. Standing up for Piyutim, that's a minhag. But standing up for Tekiot, that you have to stand. You can't lean. So same thing here. Why are we standing? Because there's an obligation to stand. Why? Because that's what God did and told Moshe to do when he got the Torah. Not for any other reason. Because when we learn Torah, we do sit down. But when we publicly reenact Maamar Har Sinai, we stand. So we quoted a Rambam. We quoted a Shulchan Aruch about the laner going over it 2-3 times. Now let's quote a Ramah, because maybe you'll say to me, this is all an Svardi Shir. So let's quote something Ashkenazi for a change. The Ramah Paskins. The Nohagua Medaktikim. Those that are very pedantic about Jewish law. They're very medakdek. Lihit no ne'a b'sha'a shekorin b'torah. Now here is a term I can't translate into English. There is no term in English that I know of for shuckling. Shuckling is not an English word. What we do in davening, moving back and forth and back and forth, says the Ramah, the medaktikim do that during laning. Now during davening, there's a totally different reason why we shuckle. The Ramah says, because of kol otzmotai tomarna Hashem michamocha. Okay? But why during laning? Says the Ramah, I'll tell you why. Dugmat ha-Torah shenitna beretet. The Torah was given when the people were shaking. Why were they shaking? Because they were scared. So now you're reenacting Maamar Har Sinai. So let's think of it. A bima in the middle, hopefully elevated, just like Maamar Har Sinai was. You have a laner, kiviyachol, like a god giving the Torah. You have a guy getting the aliyah, kiviyachol, like Moshe receiving the Torah. You have a gabbai, which is like the Jewish people, together with all the congregants, receiving the Torah around them. You have standing up erect, because that's the way they received the Torah. You made sure the laner went over it 2-3 times like God did. And you shake. Why do you shake? Because the Jewish people were shaking out of their pants when they got the Torah. So you shake, you shuckle during the time of laning. Again, not to be mixed up with why we shuckle during davening. This is in order to reenact Maamar Har Sinai. And let's give one more example, and that's the Bach. The Bach comes along and tries to explain the words of the Maharam. Now, why does he go out of his way to explain a chumrah of the Maharam to stand during laning? We're not talking about the laner. We're not talking about the guy who got the aliyah. We're talking about stam, a congregant in shul who stands during laning. I don't know how many of you do that, but let's just say in Ashkenazic shuls, it's more than a visible minority. Why do you stand during laning? Even the Maharam said it was a chumrah. The Bach goes to work on it because the Maharam was the primary posek for Ashkenazic Jewry at a certain point. His Talmidim were the Haga'ot Maimoniot, the Rosh, the Mordechai. Let's just remember, the Rosh is one of the three primary poskim of the Beis Yosef. He's a Talmid of the Maharam. Mordechai quoted all over the Vilna Shask, was killed at Kiddush Hashem. The Haga'ot Maimoniot added the Ashkenazic minhags to the Rambam, like the Ramah did to the Shulchan Aruch. So we're talking about the Rebbe of these three individuals. The Bach can't go to sleep at night if he doesn't explain this Maharam. Why is it that a congregant has to stand during laning as a chumrah. It's a chumrah during laning. Says the Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis. Even he agrees you don't have to stand. Ela de sfirole, but rather he assumes de ra'ui lahader de la'amot. It's a hider mitzvah to stand. Why? Mipnei shetzarich adam la'alot bedato kisheshomea ha'akriya mipnei akore ke'ilu kibla ota sha'a mehar sinai uvehar sinai hayuko Yisrael omdin. Says the Bach. It's a hider mitzvah. Because the obligation is to hear laning. The obligation is to reenact Maimad Har Sinai. Okay, so we have the laner, we have the guy getting the aliyah, we have the gabbai, we got it all. They're standing at a bima. The hider mitzvah would be for the Jewish people around them to also be involved in this reenactment. So our Rama, Ashkenazi number one, said everyone should shake, should shuckle. And now the Bach says, in the name of the Maharam, if you stand up, then you're doing exactly what the Jewish people did at Maimad Har Sinai. So it's a hider on top of a hider. Again, by just hearing the laning, you're fulfilling your obligation. But by going ahead and standing up, you're doing the second thing, and that is to reenact Maimad Har Sinai every time you lane. So therefore, according to all these sources, as we go back to our question, the seasoned laner, does he have to go over the laning? The answer is, A, he should, to have an authentic laning. So it's good enough to do it once. If it's bar mitzvah parsha, I doubt he has to do it at all. He probably knows it in his sleep. But the second reason is, he must, three times. The shtayim mikra v'chat targum would be two out of the three. And the third time would be when he goes ahead and he lanes, he prepares the laning for that day. Could be a few days before, but the bottom line is he's doing it in order to reenact what God did when he gave the Torah to the Jewish people. God stood there and said, I'm going to go over it 2-3 times. You go over it 2-3 times. And that reenacts Maimad Har Sinai just like many halachos surrounding laning. From standing up to not leaning, but rather standing erect, be'emo v'yira, to shaking like the Jewish people did, and finally for even having the people around the bima stand up as a hider mitzvah. So therefore, a laner should first of all keep halacha. He should do shtayim mikra v'echad targum, that's 2 out of the 3 times. He should do an extra time in order to mekayim this additional level of kiyum mitzvah, and that is even when he prepares the laning, he's reenacting Maimad Har Sinai by going ahead and doing what God did. God went over it 2-3 times, and so does he. And again, this is not just what I came up with. This is a mefurash halacha in Shulchan Aruch. B'makom shenahagu she'aoleh atzmo kol lebekoram, im lo sider tchila parasha paimayim shalosh b'no lovein atzmo lo ya'aleh, u'b'makom she'achazan koreh, hu tzarich lesater tchila. And therefore, when laners ask me, I tell them, you have to do shtayim mikra b'char targum, plus one additional time. And then you're mekayim both things. Also, a good laning, authentic. You're prepared. And number two, you're reenacting Maimad Har Sinai because you're standing in place of God giving the Torah. And I just want to end on the following note. When you teach Torah, when you give over halacha, when you say over a pasuk in Chumash, you have a grave responsibility according to this. These sources show that it's like standing in the place of God himself. God gave the Torah once to the Jewish people at Maimad Har Sinai. And every time you teach Torah, we're reenacting that in a way. And therefore, there's a grave responsibility here. And I think it's extremely important that we appreciate and adore this responsibility. That we're not just telling over a joke. Worst comes to worst, people don't laugh. We're not just telling over what our prime minister has done or not done in the Knesset. There's not much ramifications from that to our daily lives. We're talking about the real McCoy. If you're teaching Torah, even telling over a pasuk, you're standing in the place of God. You're opening up the Torah like God did at Maimad Har Sinai. We're in the middle of counting Sfira towards that day. That's how important that day is. And therefore, every time you speak of Torah, every time you open your mouth, you have to remember, you're not just giving over information. It should be authentic and it should be correct. Like the first reason we saw, you have to remember it's part of an ongoing process. You are now in the place of God, kiviyachol, giving over God's Torah. God, we say every morning, is hamilamei Torah la'amo Yisrael. And now you're doing it by doing v'halachta b'idracha, following in the ways of Hashem, and giving over the Torah. And therefore, I have to be honest, and I end with this. I don't appreciate, nor do I respect people that go ahead and give over divrei Torah without the proper patos, without the excitement that they should have. What do I mean? I sometimes am at a table where we're having a good time and someone says, let's hear a Dvar Torah. I've already given my opinion on that in a different context. But I have to say, if you're already going to give a Dvar Torah, it has to be beautiful. Because just like at Vaimat Har Sinai, the Jewish people went, wow, you better give a Dvar Torah, that's wow. And obviously you're not always going to be successful. Not every speech you give, not every Dvar Torah you say is going to be all wow. But you have to try. And I have a feeling many times that people don't try. They sort of said, yeah, it says in the parsha like this, and it says over there, Rashi like this, and may the Beis HaMikdash be built, amen, let's go over to the Cholent. There's a grave responsibility when you teach Torah to be authentic and to try to give the people the feeling you are now continuing Maimad Har Sinai here today. And if that's not the feeling, then something is lacking, not totally nothing, but lacking. You have the first kiyum, you're teaching Torah, albeit without the excitement. And if there is an excitement, I believe it won't last. It just won't last for the future. And therefore, when you teach Torah, these are the two ingredients needed. You have to do it authentically and go over what you say so it's going to be precise. And number two, have the feeling you are continuing Maimad Har Sinai here today. God gave the Torah at Maimad Har Sinai. Now I'm giving the Torah. It went through all the generations. It's now my turn. And when you have that in mind, I'm pretty sure the excitement level goes up because the responsibility goes up. And you'll have a totally different perspective. Mashal lema hadavar dome. If a person is on a plane and he's a doctor and you're flying over the Atlantic and then comes that amazing, very problematic, sad, perhaps, announcement, is there a doctor on board? And you're a doctor and you're the only one on board. Based on your examination and recommendation, the plane will either make an emergency landing or will continue on its course. Don't you feel that responsibility? Don't you get up and say, wow, it's all on my shoulders. My shoulders all of a sudden became heavy. I want to see that feeling every time someone says it's Dvar Torah. I'm not just giving over information. I'm not just reading a parsha sheet and repeating it for the public. Here in shul, or at the Shabbos table, or at a Sheva Brachas Bris, I am continuing Maimad Har Sinai. I am standing in place of God. I'm Melamei Torah L'Amo Yisrael, like God Himself. And if you have that feeling, I'm pretty sure, not only will your words be thought of, Kiyum number one, but it will be said in a certain way, and in a certain manner, that will give excitement and relevance to the people around you. They'll feel your passion as you speak. Atkan, gentlemen, Bezrat Hashem, we should be matzliach to teach Torah authentically and to give people the feeling we are continuing Maimad Har Sinai. Have a good day, everyone, and take care.